What is up, guys? Welcome to Roleplay R&D. My name is JP McDaniel, and I'm joined by the rest of the cast, which, as it's our first show, we're going to do some introductions. But you guys should know pretty much everyone on the show. Wheat, why don't you do some introductions about yourself?
My name's DJ Wheat. You might know me as Frix in the now-canceled Dark Heresy campaign. No! I'm just kidding. I'm totally just trolling.
Oh, my God, JP.
I thought that would be a good, just break the ice. No, I'm excited for the concept of the show, which I think everyone's going to find out about. I'm really a big fan of this, so thanks for having me, and let's do this.
Sweet stuff. Steven, as now part of the defunct Dark Heresy crew and part of the new show, what's going on? Why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Steven Lumpkin. I'm a level designer on Warhammer 40,000 Eternal Crusade, which is why I was running the now canceled Dark Heresy show. It's not canceled, you guys. Jesus. It's not. We're currently working on scheduling the very next session.
Yes.
I'm super excited about this. We'll get to what game we're running very soon, but I love this game and I can't wait to share it with you guys.
Awesome stuff. And last but not least, Maggie, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Margaret Luperza Crone. So I think that's what it says right there, right?
Yes.
I used to be a game designer on PlanetSide 2 and Free Realms and Clone Wars Adventures. So I've kind of been in the gaming industry for a while, and now I'm the community manager for PlanetSide 2, and I like to play games.
There you go.
That's it.
You're in the right place if you like to play games. I guess just to start off with, what the hell is this show? So this is the fourth, and I'm calling it, guys, it's the final show. Four is the limit. I can't go past that. Four is the full number of roleplay shows at any point that can be in existence. So Roleplay R&D stands for Roleplay Research and Development. And what it is basically, I think, Steve, you messaged me a while back, and you were kind of thinking we should maybe do another campaign. And I think I was a little bit reluctant when you brought it up, but eventually I was like, yeah, we probably should. And I didn't want to focus on a single game, and I think that was what hooked me into this. So this show is a campaign that'll last 4 to 8 weeks. And after that 4 to 8 weeks, we say 4 to 8 because we don't know how long it'll take to wrap up any individual campaign. We will be switching systems, games completely. Like, we may go from something that is steampunk to something that is like Dark Heresy or 40K or just any of the billion of different tabletop games out there. And it's really actually, I think, a lot more fun for characters because everyone loves making characters. So we get to do that every 4 to 8 weeks. And this is the core cast, if you will. There may or may not be a fifth person joining the show in every campaign. There may even be a fifth person joining the show next episode. We're not sure. That we're kind of playing it loose and free and keeping it fun and trying not to stick to any one thing, which I think is going to be a lot of fun. So, Steve, why don't you introduce what the first game that we're going to be playing is?
Yeah, so the first game that we're going to be playing is a game called Apocalypse World. And it's just apocalypse-world.com. And it's like when we talk about a game like Dungeons & Dragons, where you're tracking the amount of ammunition you have and the amount of oil you have for your lamps and the amount of weight that you're carrying, a game like that is sometimes called simulationist because you're really paying attention to everything. And those details develop the story. A game like Apocalypse World is what we call narrativist. And we don't have ammo in Apocalypse World. If it seems cool for the players to run out of ammo, then they will, because that's what a narrativist game is. It takes a little bit of extra trust on the side of the players to know that I'm not going to be a dick about it. But
I kind of hope you are, though, at some point.
At some points, I certainly will be.
Perfect.
So I figured what I would do is I would read the back pitch from Apocalypse World just to get everybody into the mood. Then we would go through character generation and we'd talk about the core rules of the game.
Sure.
And then we'll kick it off.
Awesome.
So here it is.
Away.
Something's wrong with the world. and I don't know what it is. It used to be better, of course it did. In the golden age of legend, when there was enough to eat and enough hope, when there was one nation under God and people could lift their eyes and see beyond the horizon, beyond the day. Children were born happy and grew up rich. Now that's not what we've got. Now we've got this. Hardholders stand against the screaming elements and all comers, keeping safe as many as they can. Angels and savvy heads run constant battle against there's not enough and bullets fly and everything breaks. Hocuses gather people around them, and are they protectors, saviors, visionaries, or just wishful thinkers? Choppers, gunluggers, and battle babes carve out what they can and defend it with blood and bullets. Drivers and operators search and scavenge, looking for that opportunity, that one perfect chance. Skinners remember beauty or invent beauty anew, cup it in their hands and whisper, come and see, and don't worry now about what it will cost you. And brainers, oh, brainers see what none of the rest of us will. The world's psychic maelstrom, the terrible desperation and hate pressing in at the edge of all perception. It is the world now. And you, who are you? This is what we've got, yes? What are you gonna make of it? So that comes straight from the Apocalypse World website. And this is a game set in a post-apocalyptic world. The only thing that we really know at the moment is that there was an apocalypse sometime between 50 to 100 years ago. And two, there's this psychic maelstrom that's sort of, you can feel it in your brain if you just sort of open yourself a little bit. And you can sometimes get things out of it, and sometimes it gets things out of you. So, we were thinking about, DJ, you mentioned that there was this comic series that you really liked, and it's called, what's it called?
It's called Crossed.
Crossed.
Yeah.
And what's the core conceit behind that?
So the core behind Crossed is that Crossed is a comic. It's a great little set of reads, by the way. And the whole concept of it's based on the idea that you become infected with this something and you sort of become true evil. You lose any sort of idea, any concept of humanity. You sort of know about that you have to eat, you have to kill, and you have to fuck. It's just sort of this like crazy, you know, sort of, I guess the whole world is devolved when you're infected. And the whole book in itself is about these survivors that, you know, have to deal with what the impending apocalypse as it's taking place. Of course, you can imagine when something like that happens, core infrastructures of everything break down. So I kind of came up with the concept that, well, what happens if you throw in a bunch of extra years in there? You know, what happens then? So I don't know if you want me to keep going, but that's essentially the concept of Cross.
No, that's great. Let's so the world that we're in is not the world of Crossed. It's our own world. But it's based on that idea. So I think we can all agree. And the way this game works, it's very much interactive. Like the GM doesn't come up with everything and just throw it out there. It also builds on what the players give me. So that came from DJ Wheat, and I really liked it. So the idea is that sometime, a couple hundred years ago, maybe 100 years ago, some infection spread and it burnt out the inhibition centers in people's brains, and they just went crazy. But they're still really smart. So that's kind of the core of where we're at. So Wheat, what were you thinking of playing in Apocalypse World?
I was thinking about playing a gunlugger.
Cool. A gunlugger. Can you tell us what the gunlugger's deal is?
So the gunlugger is basically someone who sort of holds on to the basin concept that, you know, what's yours is yours only as long as you can actually hold on to it. And so for that reason, you know, have your own motivations to protect what is yours and then what you choose to protect. So you sort of do that by being a gun lugger and using force and violence as your sort of solution to a lot of things. And so I felt like in this world especially, that really matched up how I would, how I would see myself playing a character. So that was what I chose.
Oh, I want to throw out a disclaimer very early on. This show is going to be rated R. R.
Yeah.
There's probably going to be sex. There's probably going
to
be
in
violence.
Fact, just to speak about, there is something called the special, right? The class special. And the entire class special is if you have sex with this person, you get X. Yeah, so there's going to probably be a lot of ridiculousness in this show.
Yeah.
Is all I'm saying.
So I can't wait. Yeah. All right. JP, what are you thinking of playing? You have like two characters you were thinking about, right?
Yeah. Well, I had one that was always going to be the one, but the other one in case someone else wanted to be this one. But I want to be the driver.
Awesome.
Oh, shit. Yes.
So the driver just drives a car, and that's kind of his thing. That's all he does, from what I can tell. And we'll go into my actual character, I guess, when we start actually doing that. But
yeah.
I'm the driver, and I'm excited about it.
And Maggie, have you had any additional thoughts in the last 5 minutes?
There's so many choices. So I've had like a few options that I've liked. Because, oh man, the Touchstone seems like a really OP class to me. And I'm like a min-maxer when I play games. I don't know why, but I just do it. And I love the idea of either like Battle Jesus, which is like the Touchstone plus not to be fucked with, which is basically it gives you, it makes you count as a gang in battle, which I think is ridiculous.
That's pretty cool.
Or the other option is Inspiring, which all others mark XP whenever they help you, which I think could be really beneficial. And if you don't know what the Touchstone is all about, they kind of can make and manipulate people into doing whatever they want. So they kind of just go into places and, make people either feel, like they want to, like you're offering them hope, or you're exploiting their hope, or you're like acting with hope. And I think it's kind of an interesting concept in an apocalyptic world or post-apocalyptic world. I also really like the idea of playing a Hocus. So I don't know. I'm just kind of like between those two, that's really what I've been thinking, and I'm leaning more towards the Touchstone because I think it would kind of mix with what the other two guys are trying to play and make it so that we have like a,
we could be a traveling band of Jesus freaks preaching the good word.
Yeah,
and if someone fucks with
option,
us, Marcus
no.
is the one that kills them.
Dude, the other option, JP, if you go driver, is my other car is a tank.
Oh, that'd be pretty
cool. Pretty sick, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm pretty sure I want to do Touchstone, but
it's a
like,
Lambo, by the way, not a tank. But
I can't.
My other car is a Lambo.
Yeah.
I can't choose what the the option is that I want. Basically, I get another move from another player's another class's handbook. So I just gotta choose that one, and I think maybe I'll kind of work with these two and figure out which one
so
best
you're still
fits our
stuck
classes.
On classes. You're still not sure which class you want?
No, I think I'm gonna go with the Touchstone. But I'm debating what. So basically, I get another move from another class's handbook.
Right.
And I've been debating between either not to be fucked with, reputation, which is actually allows me to like pretty much sway whatever I want out of people. Like I can make them see me however I want, and that really helps me in the sense of that I am Touchstone, right? And then inspiring, or my other car is a tank. So I'm kind of just stuck at that point.
All right. Cool. Well, let's start with Wheat. You're going to make your gun lugger. So do you have your playbook open?
I do.
Awesome. So,
and I'm showing this on screen, by the way. Your playbook is on the stream.
Awesome.
Probably get copyright infringement for that, but I don't care.
And you're just going to fill it out as well?
I won't fill it out. I'll just, I mean, he will, but I won't do it on stream.
Okay.
So go ahead and look at the options for your name.
I mean, do I have to do these options?
No, you can choose whatever you want.
Oh, man, Wheat's got his own name.
My name is Evan Masters. That's my
Evan
name.
Masters?
Yes.
So what do we call you, Masters?
Whatever you want to call me.
Evan Masters. All right. Evan Masters. Awesome. What about your look, Evan? How do you look?
So really, Evan Masters is pretty much – you know, you look at him and it is the cliche, like this is what badass is in the dictionary. So, you know, sort of almost Mad Maxed out in a way, but with kind of a large cloak that he wears over himself to make sure that, you know, he can have some level of concealment to kind of move around as he wills, not to bring a bunch of attention. But when he throws it off underneath, he's got, you know, he's got rows of ammunition and munitions strapped around him with pockets full of more munitions and things that blow up and, you know, things to light other things on fire. On my back, I've, you know, carrying my weapons, and that's you know, that's kind of what you see. As far as what he looks like, he just sort of has some short, kind of spiky hair, maybe even similar to myself, and he's dirty because it's the fucking apocalypse, so he's dirty.
Awesome. Can you go down the look column on your sheet and tell us one choice from each category?
Obviously, like I guess it's a man. Like, it's pretty obvious that that I'm a man, and all of the armor is definitely sort of scrounged and mismatched, but it's to his liking. There's some evident battle scars on Evan. Not only does he have a large scar that just sort of goes across his face, which is, by the way, self-inflicted just to make him look a little bit more badass. Okay. He does have some actual bullet wounds, on the shoulders and some scrapes on the back that he's gotten over time. As far as his eyes, you can just tell that it's a very intelligent individual, but there's just something a little bit off, whether that's kind of crazy or whether that's, maybe just sort of that I don't give a fuck attitude. It's a little bit difficult to figure out. And then, you know, a fairly average build, like not going to pass as Arnold Schwarzenegger stunt double, but, you know, looks pretty good. Might show up in like People's 100, you know, top 100 sexiest men, if that still existed. And it was for like maniac killers that only wanted certain things, like, you know, reality television archives, like any sort of reality television they could find, or any sort of drugs. He's heavily into any sort of post-apocalyptic drugs that he might be able to get his hands on, and always a cat, because it's the one thing that he misses the most from.
What does he miss? A cat.
He misses having a cat.
Aww.
did he have cats in his former life? Or prior to shit going bad? Or has he only known shit to go bad?
Well, I mean I only knew that shit was bad, but even then, like, I searched for reality television.
Yeah.
JP. Okay. Right? Like, it's something that in the post-apocalyptic world it's really rare and you can barter with it.
Right.
And in doing that, I mean, the other really sort of low level currency is cat videos. So
yeah.
It's just something that I just, I wish I had a cat.
Can like VHS be the only form of media in this new world, in this apocalypse world? Can we not have like CDs and DVDs?
Oh my gosh, that's absolutely terrible.
Yes.
VHS is
awesome. The CDs and everything
my
fried.
My music heart is broken.
Yeah, on my person, I always have at least, 15 or so first to third generation VHS copies of various tapes.
VHS awesome. And like tape decks is for music.
All right, sorry, we kind of went off
tape
track.
Tape decks, like that.
No, that's so good.
I'm imagining him being like a gunslinger with like a giant boombox, just like rocking out.
You know, someone
with his
brings
cat
up
on his shoulder.
Someone brings up a good point. No Betamax. I would think that VHS was lost and that Betamaxes were never really used, but they just made a shit ton of them. So why don't we make Betamax? How they watch the videos.
Betamax is really rare. I think VHS is.
You think?
All right, we're gonna say that Betamax is like super desired.
Okay.
But VHS is the common
just
currency.
Just because it is
so
higher
Betamax
quality.
Is like,
it is higher quality. Yeah, Betamax is higher quality. So okay. I like that.
Awesome. All right, Maggie, can we move on to you?
Sure.
You have your Touchstone playbook up, right?
Yeah, I have it up. So we're just going over what we're gonna look like.
Yeah, can you choose a name and then go down the look column and tell me one from each category?
All right. I don't have to choose a name that's in here, right?
Nope, you can choose any name.
They have some interesting names in here, but I think I'm going to go with Emberly. And you can just call me like Embership for short or something like that. Mm. And I guess out of my look options, I think I'm going to be a woman just because, like, I am a woman. And I think that, you know, that's easy to relate to.
There's nothing wrong with playing a woman in a role play. There's nothing wrong.
We need more women in role play.
That's right.
There's
it's
never
true.
Enough.
There you go. There you go.
Hopefully no one in the group attempts to, like, fornicate with me, though, because I can manipulate you.
I mean, that...
Well, we got to get our bonuses, Maggie. Like, what?
Yeah. I thought you were a min-maxer.
God damn.
Oh, man. Oh, man. And I think I'm going to be wearing survival gear, because that's one of the options that I have here. So pretty much I think I would have everything that I would need to live if I, you know, got strayed away from, like, the people that I'm normally with. And at least get me to the next location that I need to get to. Because I am a touchstone, I feel like my appearance should be something that makes people feel welcome around me. So I think I will just go with the sweet face option and calm eyes so people feel like they're calm around me. And, you know, yeah, I think that'll work. DJ Wheat's options are way more badass. I'm kind of jelly now. I was kind of tempted to be a battle babe because I'm just like, that sounds freaking awesome.
Yep.
Yeah, but now you're Jesus. So
I know. Yeah, I'm pretty Jesus. Much like battle Jesus, so I think that that's equally as freaking
totally.
Awesome.
Totally. So, Emberly, how about your body?
I'm not really sure where I'm going with this one. I think maybe I just want to be, like, athletic, but, you know, I think you were saying initially that we were going to be, like, sexy, badass people, so I think I'm still going to be in that realm. But okay. Just more like average, but, you know, like buff. Not buff, but, you know, just like toned.
No, that sounds great. Athletic body, no problem.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a post-apocalyptic situation. I probably kick some ass. I do try to go the other route if I can, but which is funny because Weed's character goes the opposite, so I think there should be some interesting exchanges between our characters.
Good. All right, let's hear from our driver.
All right,
JP, what's your name?
Pull up the sheet. My name...
I just keep thinking Fast and the Furious and putting, like, JP in that situation.
My name is going to be Bubba.
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 B-U-B-B-A. And I guess I'll just go down this. The look is that I am a man. I have... I've got vintage wear. I have a gorgeous face, cool eyes, and a pudgy body.
Awesome. A little incongruous when people look at you from, face to body and then...
People know me by the driver's license that I have, which is just my face. So they
just
think
the
that
face?
I'm gorgeous, right?
Okay,
but
awesome.
But then they get the full package and they start to wonder a little bit.
They're a little disappointed.
Yeah.
So you just have, like, your face on the front and back of your car?
No, just on my driver's license.
Oh, just on your driver's license.
Yeah, so in this world, like, driver's license are incredibly rare.
What's
going to
be your license plate? Is
it just... it's going to say Lambo on it, because that's the name of my car.
Oh, awesome.
Never saw that one coming.
Yeah.
Never.
This is planned from many moons ago, Wheat.
JP, what is your driver's license made out of? Because, like, nobody has the machine to cut cards
these days. Right. So my driver's license is made out of, I've run over a lot of people accidentally just because I am a driver and I'm a little bit reckless. So instead of, you know, like, honoring their corpses and their bodies and not letting anything go to waste in this apocalyptic world, I've taken their skin and just sewn it together so it's good enough to be able to, like, draw and write on, and then I got a picture and stitched it to the skin and got, like, a burning tool and burned the information on the driver's license into the skin.
I'd like to suggest that then JP found a library and did laminate that. Paper is more rare than a lamination piece,
a lamination,
and so he actually used the skin but then went and laminated that, so
right.
I
right
Yeah, I like
wow.
you, buddy.
All right, delightful.
Wait, what?
Okay,
was,
we're
oh Bubba.
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 Can I call you Bubba P or just Bubba?
We'll see. You might the character. Some of the other stuff that I have to choose. We might be life. We might be long time friends. We'll see. You can choose on a nickname then.
Okay. All right. So let's each of you look at your stats. I'll go through these, and now's a great time to mention the core mechanic of the game.
Sure.
So cool lets you do something under fire. So like if you're in a stressful situation, you can roll cool to be able to, you know, act well. If you've been narco stabbed and you're like out of it because you've been drugged, that's doing something under fire. If you've been stunned by like a punch to the head, that's doing something under fire. Fire can be really anything that's threatening you. If you're trying to sneak somewhere, then you can be doing it under fire, and the fire is how badly it's going to hurt when they find you.
Mm,
okay. So the core mechanic is you roll 2d6 and you add your stat. On a 10 plus, you do what you wanted to do. On a 7 to 9, you do what you wanted, but there's a consequence. Usually that's something that I tell you. On a 6 or less, I get to tell you what happens, and you won't like it.
Okay.
Hard is a stat that it talks about, like,
that grin.
It's how cold you are, how hard you are, how much you can, you know, dish out and take. That lets you go aggro on people and seize things by force. Hot is how hot you are, lets you seduce or manipulate people. Something like threatening someone with violence, if you don't intend to go through with it, that could be seduce or manipulate. If you do intend to go through with it, it's going aggro. If you are trying to bluff, that can be a manipulate role. Sharp is how clever and quick you are. If you are good at reading situations and reading people, then you're a very sharp person. And weird is it lets you open your brain to the psychic maelstrom, which anybody can do. It's a basic move, and it gives you information about things. You also have another stat to the right of those columns called HX, and that's history. And that okay. describes your relationship with the other characters at the table. Okay, so go down your stat line. You see under the stats column, you choose one set of those and then just write them all in the columns.
Okay.
And once you've chosen, just pipe up and say, hey, Steven, here's the stat line I chose.
I've got mine already.
Go ahead.
Maybe should we go in the order that we came in when we talked about our characters first?
No, so it's fine. Go ahead, Maggie.
Okay, cool. So I'm actually going to go with the sharp option just because, like you said, I am someone who really gets people. So I'm going to go with that one. So I'm going to go 0 cool, 2 hard, minus 1 hot. So that kind of goes with my thing that I said. I'm just average tone chick. 2 sharp and minus 1 weird. So I'm going to go with that option.
Awesome. And Wheat, how about you?
I have 1 cool, 2 hard, negative 1 hot, 1 sharp, and 0 weird.
How much sharp?
One
sharp. And 0 weird. Awesome. JP.
Some questions.
As our driver.
What exactly is hard again?
As hard lets you go aggro or seize by force. So that's like, it's how hard you are. It's how cold you are, how much you can swing your weight around and really like bully people.
Okay. And what was hot?
Hot is, it's hotness, JP. It's how hot you are.
Okay. Well, I would think that in the spirit of my character, I'd go with 0 cool. 1 hard.
0.
Shut up, Marcus. I know exactly where you're going with that. 1 hard, minus 1 hot, plus 2 sharp, and minus 1 weird.
2 sharp and minus 1 weird. Awesome. That's the third stat line there. 0,
yes.
1, minus 1, 2, 1. Oh, no, minus 1. Yep. Awesome. Very cool. Okay, so each of you look at your moves. You get all the basic moves. For example, for JP, you also get a no-shit driver, and then you get to choose one second driver move. So okay. Each of you, please go ahead and do that now.
Choose our second driver move?
Yeah.
Or, sorry, what class move?
Yeah.
Here, I'll show this on screen.
Wait, can you explain that again, Steve, one more time?
So I'm looking at Evan Masters, the Gunlugger. You've got a column that says moves.
Right.
It says you get all the basic moves. Choose three Gunlugger moves. So over on the very right-hand side of the screen, there's Gunlugger moves, Battle Hardened,
just choose
fuck
from
this
those.
Shit.
Right. Okay.
Choose three of those.
Right, right. Okay. So just basically follow what the class sheet says.
Yeah, exactly. So, Maggie, have you chosen your moves?
Oh, man, this is the hardest part. So, under the class moves or under the additional rules, the extra move that I get?
No, I don't think you actually get to choose at character creation from other playbooks.
It says during character creation, you might choose a move from another playbook. These aren't your own choices, just a selection, or these aren't your only choices. These are just a selection. So I can choose one of the options that are actually in that playbook, or I can go choose one that's in another playbook.
To any other playbook. Yes, that's if you've taken the long history touchstone move. So as a touchstone, you get all the basic moves. You get visionary, which you already have checked, and then you get to choose two more touchstone moves. And one of those could be long history, which gives you another character's move.
Gotcha. All right.
How about you? What the hell is your name? Evan Masters.
Evan. Well, first off, I know I will be choosing the move not to be fucked with.
Ah, yes.
And so, I mean, I'm debating a little bit because we don't have much, at least I don't think we have any healing potential in our group, just inherently in our classes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've got the ability. Now there's this prepared for the inevitable, which basically says you have a well-stocked and high quality first aid kit. It counts as an angel kit CF with a capacity of 2 stock. Is that something that's like a one-time use? Am I just spending a point in a move that is like something I will just have until it heals up? And
no way. You can definitely buy more stock. One barter generally gets you 2 stock. So
okay.
You can recover that.
All right. So it's recoverable. It just allows me to start with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, and I could buy one anyway?
If you were to buy one, then I would probably count that as your next improvement, since it's a move taken from your class.
I see. Okay.
But I give it to you right now.
So, I mean, for the sake of protecting our party from bad rolls, I'll go ahead and I'll grab this as
prepared for the inevitable.
Yeah.
So what the fuck happened to you, Evan, that made you realize you need to be carrying around a first aid kit? Like, generally, you've usually been able to get help from other people when you needed it. What changed?
I mean, what hasn't happened? at this point, I think that I can think back to one of the many instances that I've seen out there in the world that's sort of prepared me in the way it has. But, you know, to be honest with you, I was chased down by a crazed fat man wearing a necklace of penises, and he had a pitchfork.
That was not me, by the way. That was someone else.
He stabbed me. It wasn't. I can confirm that. He stabbed me with said pitchfork just right on the left ass cheek. It's one of the many scars that I have. And at that point, I wasn't carrying a first aid kit. And I caught, you know, pretty bad infection. It should have been something that shouldn't have held me down. But I was held down within a barn for about 2.5 months trying to
get
better.
With an ass infection.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, so that's my second one, and last but not least, I'm gonna choose Blood Crazed.
What was his name, that guy that stabbed you with the pitchfork?
I don't know. He yelled some gibberish at me. I just called him Guy with the Cock Necklace.
Yeah, we only knew him as the Penis Man.
Yeah, Penis Man. Well, no, I've seen plenty.
Oh, you've seen a lot of Penis Man.
There's too many guys to call this one the Penis Man.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think they don't have names to me anymore. They just are descriptions of what I saw. I have to remember them. So.
Okay.
He just remembers the guy's cock necklace.
Yeah, let's just call him Cock then. Screw it,
he
right?
He stabbed me in the ass with a pitchfork, and I didn't have a first aid kit. This is why I'm always prepared for the inevitable.
Okay.
Awesome. Driver.
Yeah.
Bubba. What are your moves? You've
how many moves? So rhythm. I get a no shit driver, which is already inherent, and then I get one more.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's my other car is a tank.
Yes.
I mean,
you get an additional car. Give it mounted machine guns, 3 harm, close, far, area, messy, or grenade launchers.
Grenade launchers, right off.
Grenade launchers, yeah. Awesome. And plus one armor, sweet. What's a no shit driver do for you?
Does a lot of stuff. I mean, I could just read this off. It basically gives me my car's stuff when it my car's powers and whatnot, my additional car rolls when I go to do different actions.
Yeah, if you're in your car, you add your car's stats to all of your roll.
Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome. Okay, cool. Wow. Maggie, we're back to you.
All right. I just have one question because it wasn't like really laid out there. We continually get more moves as we go on, right?
Yep. The way you improve down in the improvement box here, you've got these 5 little circles next to experience, and the fifth one has a little arrow in it. Every time you roll a highlighted stat, and we'll highlight stats at the start of every game, or your history with a character goes to +4, or a move tells you to. You mark one of those experience points. When you hit the fifth one, you erase them all and you get a new improvement. And that could be a new move from your class.
Gotcha. Sick. Okay. So then it would be just absolutely silly for me not to go with long history because I get something from another class.
Yep.
So because JP took my other car as a tank, I don't really feel like I need to do that as much unless we want 2 tanks because that's pretty freaking badass.
Oh, but, I mean, I can choose something else if Steve allows it, and you can take that.
No,
up to you guys.
I mean, I could choose Collector, and then I get 2 additional cars, so then we could have my car plus 2 additional cars and a tank.
Yeah, that's true.
Does it change any of his bonuses if he's driving someone else's car?
Yeah. Does it say that anywhere in the rules?
I think it has to be one of his cars, just because his cars have stats.
Okay.
If he picks up a car and then like makes it his car, then yeah, he's gonna be able to choose stats for it.
So if I like gift him the car, I wouldn't do that. Sorry, JP. No, maybe. I think actually, since you did go that way, I think it's gonna be better for us as a party if I go reputation because then I can control my reputation and it gives me plus cool, which I don't get by default because of the stats I chose. Gotcha. And I think that's gonna be a really good bonus for us in manipulating people and getting what we want in the future.
Oh, when it says roll plus cool. That means you roll and add your cool to the 2d6 roll.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
So it doesn't say how much. It says reputation, roll plus... Oh, you mean instead of what I normally
do? Yeah, you would roll plus 0. But
okay, never mind.
You still have a perfectly reasonable chance to hit 7 through 9 on a 2d6 or even 10 plus. It'll be a little rare, but it's not crazy, right?
Yeah, it's not crazy. Okay, well then never mind. I'm not going to go that. I guess I thought that it was going to give me plus cool based on that. I guess it's worded a little different. So I'm going to go with not to be fucked with then. I count as a gang in battle.
Awesome.
So I'm just going to be battle Jesus. Bring it on.
Sounds good.
So hang on. Did you and Bubba, or not Bubba, did you and Evan know each other? Because like you both count as gangs in battles. Did you like learn from someone how to be so incredibly brutal on the battlefield, or
do we want to combine our stories?
You tell me.
All right, well, you kind of have like your story already built out. What was your gang all about, and then I'll figure out if I want to be part of that, I guess.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily a part of a gang. I'm fucking the one man gang.
Yeah, it counts as a gang when he fights.
When
you fight him, it's like fighting 5 people.
Yeah, exactly. My whole thing, Ember, is just all about being out for justice, but it's my interpretation of justice as it stands. And, you know, I would hope that we could actually end this apocalypse, so that's my motivation. If I have to kill every fucking infected thing out there to end this apocalypse, then that's what I'm going to do.
Okay. No, I love this. I think that we should come from different storylines, but I think that we should meet up and both be of the same. So basically, my thing is the same thing. Like, I feel the same way. I want to spread kind of like hope that there is a new future out there. And maybe it's not the future that we had in the past, or it's maybe it's not like the civilization we had in the past, but it's definitely a better future. And mm-hmm. I think that we can take steps in order to make that happen as a civilization, as a society. And, sure. you know, it's going to take time, obviously, and it's going to take some dedication, which, you know, not everybody's willing to do. And I'm of the same thing. Like, you know, if we got to kill some people to get, you know, get what we need in life, we're going to do it. I think I'm going to be in the same boat as him, but maybe like the way that I've come about it is a little different. You know, I've had to survive sure. and make my way, you know, here. And as I've gone, I've tried to like help people as much as I possibly can. And that's kind of how I've become so powerful, I guess, in that sense.
So like you used to be someone who was a total badass, because you have this long history, right? And you in a previous life, you learned how to fight like multiple people. You know, what was that about?
All right. I think might be kind of neat if I, you know, maybe had some martial arts training or something like that in the past life. So I, you know, I was maybe working on, you know, like my master's and something of that sort, and just trying to, you know, keep my mind and soul and body in shape. And then madness happened. So
what made you change?
Change as far as.
Well, like nowadays you're more interested in hope and, you know, spreading the good word, right? You've still got this history, but it's not your core focus anymore.
All right. I think that for me, it's more so that I don't think that violence is always the way. And I think that there are other ways to solve issues and hope that there is, you know, humanity in some sense. Even though like people are just kind of running amok and killing each other for what they need, I think that there's mm-hmm. still deep inside everyone has something within them that they can move forward with, and I want to be part of that.
Beautiful. Okay, so you get a second touchstone move. What is that? Because you took visionary and long history, and you get another one.
Maggie, you muted your mic somehow.
Whoa.
No, yeah, I know. Steve, I yours muted it. Yeah, oh, okay. I muted it while I was sliding.
Okay.
I didn't want, you know, to hear my clicking and stuff. So I think I'm going to go with Indomitable. So when you go into battle, roll plus hard on a 10 plus, hold 3. And mm-hmm. then on 7 to 9, I get to hold 2. On a miss, I get to hold 1. So I can basically, like, disarm or kill somebody or disable somebody and or,
awesome.
You know, whatever option I get.
Before we move on, what the fuck is hold? Like, that seems hold. Very prevalent in everything in this game. So can you describe yeah. what that is, Steven?
So hold is kind of like you just have tokens and you hold on to them until you decide to spend them. And you can spend them at any time to do the things listed underneath there. So, like, for Maggie, she might roll, or sorry, for Emberly, she might go into a battle and decide, well, I want to really change the way this battle comes out. So she rolls and she gets a 7 to 9. So she holds 2. At any point during the battle, she can spend her hold 1 for 1 in order to do any of those things down there. And that's also in a basic move as well. If you want to read a person, you gain hold, and then you can spend it to ask that person questions.
Okay. And so
I think it's going to be really beneficial, especially for my class and for, you know, our situation.
Sounds like you are, like, no shit, a force to be reckoned with on the battlefield. Miss Touchstone, Miss Emberly.
Okay,
cool. We've gone through everybody's moves now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So just go down, choose some gear for yourself from the gear list.
Okay.
Our gun lugger will have to choose one of his fuck off big guns, 2 serious yeah. guns, and 1 backup weapon.
That's honestly why I wanted to play the Juggernaut, because he got like a massive mech. It just
yep.
yeah.
Yep. It just sounded dope.
Our driver Bubba is going to have to choose what? You have 2 cars now, right?
Yes.
Did you get
I have my other car is a tank, and then I have my main car.
Yeah, okay. So choose your gear and then describe your cars according to what's on the first page there.
Okay. I'll choose my gear, then I'll do that aloud.
Yeah.
So it says I get 1. Oh, okay, never mind. It lists the handy weapons below.
Yep.
Obviously, I get the sawed off.
So for things like 2 harm,
Yeah.
You can see that down in the bottom of the sheet, there's this clock, like 12, 3, 6, 9 in a circle that's quartered.
Uh-huh.
Each segment is one harm. Harm before 6 o'clock heals over time. Harm after 9 o'clock gets worse over time. If you take 2 harm, you mark the 12 and the 3 segments, for example.
Jesus, okay.
And armor, one armor reduces the amount of harm you take by 1. So if you get hit with 3 harm and you're wearing 2 armor, you get one damage goes through, 1 harm goes through.
So I don't get any armor then, because I don't have that listed in my gear, correct?
Doesn't look like you get any armor, but you have a car.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, so oddments worth
car
2
barter. Car equals, armor. What? You have a tank, dude. You have freaking armor.
right.
You have, the most armor.
So it says oddments worth 2 barter. Is 2 barter, is that, the currency, gold?
Yeah, so
I just make that up?
Barter is kind of anything. Just write down 2 barter.
Okay.
And that can be anything. And maybe some of it is in VHS, right?
Sure.
You have a couple copies of old movies. What I'm thinking, I'm getting a feeling here, right? It's post-apocalyptic. There's still some electricity, still some entertainment, but only people, the only entertainment people have access to is really lo-fi entertainment because it still works.
Yeah.
And so VHS tapes are incredibly valuable because all of a sudden you've got this drunk, raging, furious population that can, instead of having a battle and a riot, they can go sit in a room somewhere and watch a VHS.
Sure.
And so that's actually really valuable.
Cool. I went 2 barter, then sawed off shotgun. Although I'm making my own sheet, so I don't know if you want to do that at all.
Sweet.
So describing my car, I have to choose one of these profiles.
Yep. You do this for each of your cars.
It doesn't have car
it's
number
the best
one.
Best one, JP.
Car number one is on your second sheet.
Is
in the bottom right. It just says your car.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I choose. Okay, so I got to choose one of these profiles. Okay.
Yeah.
Power
so,
looks.
We're talking forward. About your first car, right?
Right.
Yeah. What kind of a car is it?
Well, it's a tractor.
It's a right tractor.
Yeah, I drive a tractor.
Fuck yes.
Oh my gosh.
So let me write that down.
A
looks.
Fucking tractor.
Bubba driving his tractor around. I love
tractor.
It.
Tractor.
Yeah.
Bubba, have you ever found anybody who thinks your tractor is sexy?
Yeah, I mean, there were songs written about the tractor.
Who is it?
Who is it what that has written the song?
Tell me the name of the person who thinks your tractor is sexy.
The person that thinks my tractor is sexy is my girlfriend, Eileen.
Eileen.
Yeah. However, she was... she was killed. So right after this happened, I found this woman named Eileen, and she said, "Hey, I like your tractor. It's sexy." Right after that, the town that we were in, or whatever, if there's not towns, the encampment or whatnot, was attacked, and she ended up dying. She took a shot to the head right in front of me.
Okay.
And so that's why I just drive. I drive through towns, and I don't like staying in towns because I'm always fearful of it being constantly attacked and being rampaged and ravaged through.
Do you have any keepsakes from Eileen?
Yeah, she had a necklace, and the necklace it's just a not very, because it can't be gold or silver. That would be worth way too much.
I mean, it could be a semi-precious stone or something like that.
It was a metal dog tag necklace, and it had a bottle cap on the end of it.
Okay, bottle cap necklace.
Oh,
do you know who killed her?
No, it was just as soon as it happened, I was kind of shocked and a little bit afraid as her head literally exploded in front of mine, and her blood went all over my face and whatnot. And after I got over that, the 4 or 5 seconds, I just got out of town. I never saw who did it or what.
Yeah, so this was a big raid on this town.
Yes, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool,
they
awesome.
Just sacked this town.
Bubba's a nomadic tractor rider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was the other thing, too.
As
I was leaving this town, the tractor's not very fast, right? So, I had to fend for myself, and people were trying to get onto the tractor.
Yeah.
And so I was using my shot-off shotgun to shoot them off of it as I slowly left this town.
Absolutely.
And eventually they just gave up because it was too much of a fight for them.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So I'm going to let you go ahead and detail the rest of your car number one, and we'll come back to you for car number two.
Sure.
Gunlugger Man, Evan Masters, can you tell us about your guns?
Yeah, so...
tell us about your weapons.
My gun arsenal includes an assault rifle and a hunting rifle and a 9mm. All of my guns are also armor piercing.
Damn,
I've chosen to not take a fourth weapon and just go armor piercing instead. Well, I mean, you know what? You would too. One day when suddenly you're trying to hold down a bunker and fucking 30 cross, you hear this like this muffled yelling like, fuck you! And I'm like, what? And we look over just as the sun is going down and there's like 30 guys with random primitive weapons running at us with buckets. Now, you know, bullets are still hard to come by. And at that point, I was like, I will only carry armor-piercing bullets because I will never face another bucket head group of cross again and be stuck in that situation where I cannot take care of the problem.
Damn straight. So your big fuck-off gun is an assault rifle. Do you have a name for that gun?
Well... you know, I've thought long and hard about a name for my gun. You know, but no, I don't.
Okay.
I don't have a name for this gun.
That's fine. So the profile of the assault rifle is 3 harm. So when you shoot somebody with it, they take 3 harm. It's
right.
Close, which means you have to be able to see the whites of their eyes to do damage to them with it. If it's far, you don't have to see the whites of their eyes. You can shoot them from really far away. If it's loud, it means basically like people are going to notice when you shoot it. It might make children cry, that kind of thing. Auto fire means you can just hold down the trigger and blast.
Sure. And then grenades.
Let me see here.
Grenades.
And then grenades.
Yes.
Well, hang on. You get one big fuck off gun, two serious guns, one backup weapon.
Right. But I chose AP as one of my serious guns.
Yes. So assault rifle, 9mm AP ammo.
And then the hunting rifle. It was the other serious gun.
Oh, but AP ammo is a serious gun.
Right, but you get 2 serious guns as a gun lugger.
But one of them is AP ammo and one of them is your hunting rifle. So, yes, no, of course. I've got that here. Okay.
Yeah.
Now I'm with you. So you have assault rifle, hunting rifle, 9mm, and armor piercing rounds.
Yes. And the grenades is my. No,
you don't get grenades.
Because
you said 9mm was your backup weapon.
You're right. So actually, maybe I will. I feel like I got to have the grenades, man.
Okay.
I'll take off the 9mm.
Grenade launcher.
I'm going to take the 9mm off.
Awesome.
And take the grenades.
Cool. You've got armor worth 2 armor. So like 1 armor. That can be sort of whatever. It could be like an armored corset or like a butcher's apron, anything like that. But 2 armor is like you're walking around in armor. It might be like made out of a car, but it's still serious body armor. What does your body armor look like?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting because it looks light in some areas, and that's because a majority of the armor is dedicated to my crotch area. And so it's very heavy down there. So it appears maybe lighter than it actually is because, you know, I feel like I have to repopulate this world someday. And that's like one of the most valuable things that I can protect. But aside from that, there's a mix match of various armor, and yes, some of it is like Kevlar pieces that have been, you know, put back together and various plates, because you know, over travels, like you just find the best of what will protect that area. So it can look kind of bulky, but you can't actually tell for the most part.
Yeah, awesome. Okay, let's go to Emberly. What kind of gear are you wearing?
Oh my gosh, that's freaking hilarious. So I guess my character gets like a symbol.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that it would be kind of neat for my character because she, you know, like you said before, she did kind of have this long history. And I think that, you know, the turning point or the epiphany in her life was, you know, for a while she was just, you know, doing what everyone else was doing, trying to survive, right? And then she met this fellow who was like, hey, you don't have to, you don't have to like kill me to get what you want. There's other ways around this, and there's ways that we can work together to like make a better society. And it was kind of like the turning point in my life. And I,
yeah.
And he gave me like this little bracelet that has like a little dove on it. And it's kind of like my symbol that there is a future that can come and, you know, that is possible. And
awesome.
That's the thing that keeps me going.
What's it a symbol of?
It's a reminder. It's the symbol of the future that is only now becoming possible.
Oh,
and
very
it's
nice.
A, yeah.
So you were almost killing this guy, and he said, "You don't have to kill me to get what you want." What did you want?
All his things. Duh. I mean,
you wanted all his stuff, and so
all
he
the
gave
things.
It to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, he didn't give it to me, but like we shared it. We kind of, you know, had this place that we were, it was kind of like a shelter bunker, you know, and this is kind of how I've gone through life now, as you know, like I'm nomadically moving from place to place because, you know, it's not always safe to stay in one place. And also I want to like help all these mini societies kind of build and progress. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's, that was the first time that I've had that happen. And we slowly started helping more people and they came and it was kind of like a survival group. And, it, you know, we slowly grew from there.
What was his name, this guy who turned you around?
We'll call him Eli. There we go.
Eli.
I like that name.
Mm.
I like that name, too. It's a good name.
Yeah, it's a good name. Eli. Beautiful. All right, let's hear from Bubba about his second car, and then we're done with character Bubba? Creation, and we'll probably take a five-minute break, come back, and get kicking.
So I have some questions for you, Steve. Can I choose, like, is the only means of weapon on this car a grenade launcher or the second car? Or can I choose a second means that is not a gun, but it's just a part of the car?
So I'm looking here. You could take spikes and plates on it as its look.
Right.
And, you know, like, that's the way it is, right? You have spikes and plates on your car. Fine. But other than that, I think for now I'd like to stick to the descriptions under your cars.
Okay. Well, here's what I'm going to do. So the tank, or as it would be, that's what it resembles, but it's actually not a tank. It is a construction slash utility, and the actual, that's the frame. What it actually is an old cement truck that I took out the giant drum in the back and replaced it with a giant grenade launcher.
Oh, God, yes.
Nice.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh,
giant
man.
Giant cement truck.
JP's character, freaking awesome.
With grenade launcher
and if
on
I
back.
Can,
is that like, JP, does that grenade launcher like rotate? Is it like
Oh yeah, it's a
it
full
on
360 grenade launcher.
Oh God,
yeah.
Yes.
The entire drum was removed and I just put a grenade launcher on the back.
So you actually need someone else in the car to control the grenade launcher.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Do I need someone else? Like, can
you,
it be controlled by me somehow? That's up to you.
I'll say that I think you can definitely control it while you're driving because you've rigged up like some strings or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you're driving while you're firing this rear-mounted grenade launcher, it's acting under fire. And the fire is you're distracted by driving.
Gotcha. Okay.
Awesome.
That's totally fine with me. I would imagine that it's more of a artillery type vehicle than it is a fast moving vehicle, obviously.
Yeah. So can you quick give me your power looks, armor, and weak?
Yeah. 2-1-2-2. That's power looks, armor, weak in that order. 2-1-2-2.
Cool.
Two.
And
that's
what are your tags?
The tags for the construction utility vehicle are huge. Actually, I'm going to take out the second one. So I need to. Let's say huge and workhorse.
Okay.
It is handcrafted as the looks, and it is slow and loud.
Slow and loud,
and
handcrafted.
For the first one, did you get my tractor?
No, tell me about your tractor.
The tractor is 2-1-2-2. It's easily repaired, a workhorse, powerful, slow, and a gas guzzler.
Workhorse.
Because it's a fucking tractor.
Powerful, slow, gas guzzler.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, man, how are we going to afford this tractor?
Fantastic. Okay, so we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll do history with each other and then kick off the action.
Exactly, guys. We'll see you in about 3 minutes here. We take breaks every single hour. See you then. Thanks for watching.
Toodles.